the kingdom principles. How many would like to walk in the kingdom principles, the kingdom of God? So if we could stand and welcome Pastor Tanya as she comes and shares with us tonight.
Thank you so much for a warm welcome. Please be seated. I thank God for Pastor Payne and the open door here to come back down. This is my second time back now, so don't feel like I'm a stranger. I feel like I came back to the region on assignment, and it's good to be here tonight. And I'm so thankful when I got an email earlier this year from Denny saying, hey, what you doing? And, you know, it's really nice when he gives you the whole list to choose from. And he says, okay, which one works for your calendar? And it's been a very full year for me on a lot of fronts. And so it's hard for me. The fall is really picking up. This is my third weekend of ministry, kind of back to back. And I've been in different locations. And it's really been good. The Lord has really been blessing. And I'm preparing for some of my international travels this fall. I'll be going back to Johannesburg and then off to India. And so I'm really grateful for those doors. And last year this time, I was in Rajasthan, India, ministering to the church there. And so it's really good to be in the United States this year, this time, sharing with my family that's down here in this region. And I'm just so thankful for that. I have with me just a very special friend, special young lady that I've been mentoring. Ayo, will you just stand and wave at the people? She asked me here recently, can I come hang out with you a little bit? And I said, sure, I'll take you with me, no problem whatsoever. And it's really nice when God puts it in the heart of someone to want to come alongside and serve you and serve with you as you travel around to do the ministry. How many of you know ministry? Anybody that's been in ministry, know ministry is a lot of work. And you really get spent. You give everything out for what it is that you're doing, but you do it joyfully. And so it was so nice for her to say, I'll drive you this weekend, so that you don't have to drive. And last year, someone else came and met me. So it's just been really, really good. And I'm so appreciative. And I never take it for granted, because people don't have to do anything for you. And so I'm very, very thankful, Ayo. And she left her husband and two children and to come out and hang out with us this weekend. So I'm very, very thankful. You know, I feel such a freedom when I walk in here, because there really is worship in this house. And not only is there worship, but wherever there's worship, there's like this open place in heaven that God just begins to commune with you. You can sit in his presence, you can walk, you can kneel, and he begins to commune. You really begin to hear his voice for what he wants to say. And I've been kind of quiet before the Lord this week, just really trying to say, God, what do you want me to share when I go? And then I got in my hotel room tonight, and I sat there and I was worshiping, and the presence of God came again. And I don't know how people live without the presence of God. I just don't understand that. I cannot comprehend how you live without God. We are in some very turbulent times. How many of you would agree with that? How many of you feel like there's some intensity that's going on in the atmosphere? Anybody feel that way? And I don't believe that that's by accident, and I don't believe it caught God off guard. And I believe that he has purpose that all of us be a part of this intensity. Can you believe that? The will of God, he has designed that we all become a part of this intensity, this great increase in temptation. This great increase in confusion, this great increase in racial tension, this great increase in compromise and carnality. God says, I want my church to be right in the thick of the intensity. He says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I know grace means unmerited favor. I know grace means like mercy, the mercy of God. But there's a definition of grace that I've built my life on. And it is that God's grace is his enabling power and ability working in and through you, doing what you cannot do. Only by his grace can you do it. And so where sin abounds, grace, God's ability at work on the inside of you, working through you, what you cannot do, abounds even the more. need God's ability. I need God's ability. I believe what God is saying, and as I travel the nations, I'm challenging the church, because I believe God is saying, I'm ready to deposit greater ability on the inside of you. Greater ability to resist temptation. Greater ability to not to be drawn into what's happening in society, what's happening in the culture. Greater strength and resolve and ability to, having done all, to stand, we can keep standing. I believe that there's an outpouring of the grace of God that links up with the glory of God that causes us to be able to say, I don't care what's going on. My eyes, I will lift them up to the hill from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I believe that God's got a remnant, and God is stirring a remnant in the earth in this hour that says, I don't care how confused you feel. I know that the Prince of Peace is in our midst. I believe that this is the hour that God is saying to all of the remnant people, those that are in relationship with him, those that are connected to him, those that are saying, I might be crying tonight, but I know joy is coming in the morning. Those that believe the word of God that says weeping only endures for a night. There's joy coming in the morning. I'm not going to fall down and die and give up in my weeping season. I'm going to hold on and cry because I know that joy is coming in the morning. I believe that God has a people in the earth, that God is stirring a people in the earth to say, be a witness and be a light. I believe that there's a people that say, I'll put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I believe that God's got a people that's shaking themselves up, even tonight in this room. Those that have come to the Friday night gathering to shake yourself, to say that I'll put on the garment of praise. I feel heavy. I feel overwhelmed. I feel disconnected. I feel disjointed, but that's okay. Give me another set of clothes. I'm going to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm going to grab a hold to the peace of God for the place of my confusion. I'm going to ask God to lift up my head, oh, ye gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and allow the King of Glory to come in. Who's the King of Glory? The Lord God, strong and mighty. The Lord God, mighty in battle. Come on, lift up your heads, oh ye gates, be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. There are people here tonight that believes that he's king in spite of what they're going through. There are people here tonight that says, I believe that he is Lord, no matter what I'm feeling. I don't care what your bank account says. Your bank account doesn't dictate whether he's king. Oh, come on, somebody in here know what I'm talking about. It doesn't dictate whether he's Lord. For the just shall live by faith and not by sight. And I will call those things that be not as though they were. Oh, hallelujah. My money might be funny, but he's king of my money. My kids might be acting a little crazy, but he's king over my kids. My spouse may not quite be doing what they should be doing, but he's king over my household. He's Lord over my circumstances. Look at somebody and say, trouble don't last always. Shifting in the atmosphere. There's an increase of the strength of God being released in the earth in this hour. And there's a mantle falling upon God's women in this hour. Not just because I'm a woman, but because God is pouring out a fresh intensity upon the women who will not only travail, oh, come on, y'all, but women who will roll up their sleeves and begin to contend for the next generation. Women full of vision and women full of purpose and women full of destiny saying, I'll come alongside. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe that God is doing a stirring in the earth that's causing us to see what we haven't seen before so that we can do what we haven't done before. God is causing us us to hear what we haven't heard before so that we can say things that have not yet been spoken. For we are epistles written and read of all men. There are yet pages of our life that are being rewritten and unfolded so that we can be light and so that we can be a testimony. And so somebody can look at you and say, how did you get through that? And somebody can look at you and say, how did you make it over that? And you can say, hey, listen, but by the grace of God. What is the grace of God? God's ability, hallelujah, on the inside of me, working through me what I cannot do on my own. That's how I got over. That's how I get over. That's how I stand. That's how I keep standing. That's how I make it through nice seasons. That's how I make it through being discouraged. That's how I make it through being disappointed. That's how I make it through being disillusioned. I call on the grace of God. And I say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be the one in the insane asylum. I would be the one strung out on drugs. I would be the one looking for satisfaction in all kinds of ways. If it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for God's ability on the inside of me, I can do all things. Through Christ, I can do all things. Through Christ, I can stand. Because of the finished work of the cross, I can stand. Because of his shed blood, I can stand. Because of the fact that Jesus took every ounce of sin that I could ever have. Because of what he did. Because of who he is. Marion, Ohio. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Indiana. Illinois, the Midwest can shift. When those of us who know who we are, when those of us will rise and say, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God. When we will arise and say, I take my place in the kingdom on earth, not the kingdom in heaven. I take my place in the kingdom on earth. Because I'm seated in heavenly places and my rulership is on the right side of Jesus, who is sitting at the right side of God the Father, and my dwelling place is here in the earth. So I will execute my actions in the earth because I'm seated in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, mights, thrones, dominions, and everything. Everything, everything, not something, everything, everything, everything that the enemy could ever throw at me. God says, I have already caused you to walk in triumph victory over that situation. That is good news tonight. But we live in a time where the enemy doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to look in the darkness of the box and not see the glorious light of Jesus. He wants you to be okay with a Friday night gathering, a Sunday morning connection. He doesn't want you to walk in victory from Monday through the rest of the week. He doesn't want you to cause havoc in the workplace. He doesn't want you to turn your neighborhood upside down. He doesn't want you to really believe that you are who God says that you are. He don't want you to believe it. He just wants you to be able to stay within the four walls of the church and hold on to that which is familiar. He don't want you to break out and break wide. He don't want you to cut loose and let go. He wants you to stay refined, dignified. He wants you to sing the right songs, clap at the right time, dance on the right beat. He doesn't want you to lose your mind for Jesus. Give it all up for him and turn this world and turn your circumstance and turn your situation upside down for Jesus. There's a shifting happening in the earth. God is breathing on North America again. God is saying to his church, wake up. And God is not saying wake up from a bad dream. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! God is saying wake up and arise. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God is doing a brooding over North America. We've been like the Laodicea church. We've left our first love. We know how to do a whole lot of things, but we've forgotten how to fall in love with Jesus. We've forgotten how to just give it all up for the Lord. And God is saying, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming to shake up the bushes. I'm coming to shake up your hearts. I'm coming to stir you again. I'm coming to have you, and I'm wooing you so that you might fall in love with me all over again. So I can take you back to the place when we first connected, when we first tabernacled, and when you said, yes, Lord, whatever I'll do it, Lord. Yes, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say it. The enemy's been attacking North America. The enemy's caused the church to go to a place of sleep and slumber and content and ease. But God is saying, what is hindering you? Come out of the place of hindrance. He's saying, come out from the place of hindrance. And that's the word I bring you tonight. God is saying, what is hindering you? Come out from the place of hindrance. Think about it. What is it that has become a hindrance that's causing you not to build momentum to the completion of God's will and his destiny for you? God sends a word tonight to say, come out from the place of hindrance. When you think of the word hindrance, you know, this is just my intro. I better check in with my watch. I get caught up real quick sometimes. But before I get going any further, because I feel God, but there are times when you have to call the troops to attention. And I feel like tonight God is calling us to attention. Calling us to not sit back in our Christian ease chair. Anybody got one of those chairs at home? They call them, what they call them? Lazy boys. I believe tonight God is saying, they got all kinds of lazy boys now. Remember the day when you had to push with your body for the leg to come up? You had to exert a little effort to get to your place of ease. I feel it, Lord, I feel it. And then technology comes along and engineering comes along and say, that takes too much work. It takes too much work for me to get to my place of ease. So what did they do? Yeah, put that little handle on the side. And so all you had to do was kind of get your hand on the handle. Just exert a little bit of effort. Then that what you call that thing, the foot part of the easy lazy boy goes up. And then you just kind of stretch out. Y'all had them good lazy boys, not the, you know, the kind that really go all the way. Well, here recently, they done upgraded. They done upgraded from the stick, y'all. The stick was really good. But now we on another upgrade. Y'all know what the upgrade is now, because some of y'all got them. Push that little button on the side, and you are automatically what? You all there. You know what they're gonna do next? They're gonna have memory buttons like they do in the car, where you can, no matter who get in your seat in the car, you can push that button, and everything go. I mean, the lumbar goes up, the back goes up, everything goes right. The stern wheel come out. Yeah, I'm going somewhere with this. And so all these little creature comforts that supposedly makes life more convenient is causing the troops to lean back in their lazy boy chairs. And you can't get a hallelujah. You can't get a roar. We got this ease thing going on. But see, over in Rajasthan, they don't have no buttons. Huh? Parts of Africa, they don't have no lazy boy crank back chairs. But they have a passion Oh, come on, come on, come on. They have a passion in their faith that says, I don't want anything to hinder me. What's hindering us tonight? What are those things that have gotten in our way that's causing us to lose the momentum? What is it that has caused us to become more comfortable, more at ease, kind of leaning back in our seats, kind of like, okay, God, I love you and everything, and I'm faithful in everything, and I go to church and everything, and I read my Bible on a nice devotional schedule and everything, but when it's all said and done, I'm still a little more at ease. Because I'm doing only those things that feel comfortable. I'm not doing those things that stretch my faith. I'm not doing those things that stretch my wallet. I'm not doing those things that stretch my body. I'm not fasting and denying myself. I'm not pursuing God like I once did. What's hindering us? God is saying tonight, come out of the place of hindrance. Hindrance means something immaterial that interferes with or delays action or progress. It also means any obstruction that impedes or is burdensome. Things in our life that have become burdensome. They become hindrance for our movement in God. Hindrance means the act or hindering or obstructing or impeding. You see, the church is cool. We have our gatherings. We get together. But we're not seeing what we say we want to see. We're not seeing revival in North America that we know God is getting ready to do. And I believe we are the holdup. I believe that there's an ease that we have allowed ourselves to slip into that has become an unconscious hindrance in our lives. And then yet there's some very blatant hindrances that we are so comfortable and familiar with them that we choose to stay in relationship with them rather than break rank and say, I will not, I refuse, I'll never bow to you again. But instead, we hold on to the message that it's okay. God understands. Everybody got sin. Everybody got to take a little something every now and then. We begin to buy into lies that the enemy says, that says, it's okay, you can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, just as long as you make it to Friday night, first Friday of the month. You'll get it together on then, and if you're doing too bad, hopefully the prophetic team won't call you out. So many believers under the radar. God is saying, come out from the place of your hindrance. Let's get out from up under the radar. Let's come to the place where we stand before God and we say, God, here I am. Search me. When is the last time? Not in the church, but in your prayer closet. When, people of God, is the last time we cried out before the Father and said, search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. That's David. David, touch, search me. Try me. Check me out. Here I am. And God, if you find something, if you find something, if you locate something, I don't want to close my eyes to it anymore. If you touch me, if you try me, if you search me, and if you find it, help me say, here I am, God. Wash me again. Wash me clean. Wash me whole. Wash me, sanctify me. Present me again, spotless before your presence with exceeding joy. In the prayer closet. Well, when is the last time we cried out like that? God is saying, where are my people that'll cry out to me like that? The heart is above all things, desperately wicked. Nobody knows. So God, here's my heart. I think I got it right, but here's my heart. I think I'm following the script, but here's my heart. Just in case. This little finite mind of mine doesn't understand some things. Just in case. I know I've been saved for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. But just, hallelujah, just in case I might be on the wrong page at the wrong time doing the wrong thing with the wrong person. Just in case. Search me. Try me. Show me what's in my heart. Not so I can be condemned, but so I can get rid of every hindrance in my life. Because I want to be a vessel that the Lord works through. I want to be a vessel that God can count on. I want to be someone that God can rely on. I want to be someone that God can depend on. I want to be someone that the glory can be seen upon. God is saying, where is my church in North America? They stopped crying. They stopped crying for me. They cry to be seen. They cry for my turn at the microphone. They cry for the rotation of leadership. They cry in the church to experience something I didn't create them to experience. God said, where's the cry that says, here I am. I'm your child. When I come to church, I don't want to be seen. I just want to serve and worship you. What will happen if our gatherings and our church services went back to what they were supposed to be? What would happen when worship began that the worship team didn't have to work so hard to bring us into a place of worship? What would happen? What are some things that could happen? I love when we pulled up and everybody was in place. I said, what would happen? What, God, what would happen if everybody just got to their place in the building and just began to hallow your name and just begin to worship you and just begin to, even before the 7 o'clock mark started, just begin to say, God, I love you, and God, we welcome you, and God, we appreciate you. And then all of a sudden, you don't realize that you stepped out of time into the time of the service. What might happen? What might happen? Not just here. I talk about many churches that I go to. So I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the church. Because there's some hindrances, and I'm getting ready to hit them. You guys ready? Father, make it clear. Make it plain. Make it simple. Make it transformational. Make it life-changing. Come out from the place of hindrance. Another word for hindrance is handicap. Some handicapped people in the church right now. Come out from the place of preventive. Things in our life preventing us from moving forward. Another word for hindrance is difficulty. Difficulties can be burdens that causes hindrance in our lives. Another word for hindrance is obstruction. Coming down I-75 can be difficult. It has a lot of obstruction. Google likes to reroute you to get around the construction, the everlasting construction. Just doesn't seem to want to end. But in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Everybody say, come out from my place of hindrance. Here's a strategy. Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus, or the believers that gathered around Asia. Two schools of thought. Some believe he was talking directly to Ephesus. Some believe that he was talking to churches that were in the area of Asia at that time. But regardless to who he was talking to, 2,000 years later, we're listening and we're looking in the Bible because he's talking to us tonight by the word of God. And so if we're going to come out from the place of hindrance, in the very first verse it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. I believe in the church, God is saying, where are my imitators? Where are my children that on purpose get up every morning saying, I want to imitate God my Father? To imitate or become an imitator, what are we going to imitate, or how will we be imitators of God? He says, I want you to be imitators of God in thought, in character, in action, in speech, and in nature. We rub up against Christians now, and we can't tell if you threefold the child of the devil. I don't know about y'all. I guess I run into some people that say they are believers, blood bought, in church, but when you sit with them outside of church or you talk to them on the telephone, you go, the blood of Jesus. Who are you? Because they're okay with and have become comfortable with a representation of God that doesn't imitate him. People who have become comfortable with a form of godliness, but no power, no nature, no character, no speech, no word of God in operation in their lives. We live in an hour of great deception. And the thing about deception, people of God, is that the person who is being deceived doesn't know that they're being deceived. Deception is a dangerous thing. And we live in an hour of gross deception. Deception comes when the person chooses to not continue to look into the perfect law of liberty and examine themselves against the word of God, examine themselves against the thought of God, examine themselves against the nature of God, examine themselves against the character of God. Ah, but they don't even pick up the Bible anymore to study to see whether or not they are in the book. And because we don't do that anymore, we fall under the umbrella of deception. And so we go around in a form of godliness, but we deny the nature, the thought, the power, and the speech of the Almighty God. And so we think that we are doing the right thing. Come on. Come on, you find it in the book of Matthew. Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do these things? Did we not do signs, wonders, and miracles? And Jesus' response to them was, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never, ever knew you. That's a dangerous statement. So then how do we govern ourselves to make sure we're imitating the right person? Make sure we're imitating in thought, in deed, in word, in action. Make sure we're doing what it is that God says that we are to do. He says, imitate us. Imitate me. Imitate me how? As my sons and daughters. Imitate me as dear children. How many of y'all been parents? How many when your kids was coming up and they started doing things that you didn't want them to do? And they started doing things that you didn't know they were watching you do. Because kids do what? They imitate, they pay attention to their parents, and they imitate. I think the church has stopped paying attention to God. God is saying, come on, I'm calling the troops. I'm calling the troops back to attention. We need to begin to pay attention to God. We pay more attention to God's servants than we do to God. I am a servant, so I'm not bashing the servants of God. I'm saying that God is calling his army back to attention because we are more familiar with the human voice than the voice of God. And we're raising a generation that rather hear from man than from God. We're raising a generation that says, give me a quick fix, but doesn't know how to get in the prayer closet and wait until he comes. And those of us who know how to wait, those of us who were raised in the hour where you knew how to get in the presence of God and you waited on the Lord until God spoke to you, who knew how to sit for more than 5 minutes in the presence of God, who knew how to pray for more than 3 good minutes in the presence of God. Those of us who know the way need to challenge the next generation and let them know it's not a quick fix. Get rid of the things that are hindering you. It's the instantaneousness of the current culture that causes us to think that we can arrive at certain destinations in God overnight. We can't arrive there overnight. We have to allow ourselves to be groomed and to be fashioned after the Almighty God. We've got to get rid of the hindrances. Verse number 2 says we need to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I believe God is saying, I'm smelling some things that ain't too fresh. Where is the aroma? The aroma that Jesus released. The aroma when Jesus says, here am I, I'll go. You need someone to go down and redeem mankind back to you. Here am I, create it in me. I'll go. I'll be the Godhead bodily. I'll take the route. I'll walk the path. I'll die on the cross. Here I am. I live not for me. I live to satisfy God. Well, where are those that say, I don't live for me anymore? I live to satisfy God. When I get up in the morning, I live to satisfy him. When I get up in the morning, I live to imitate him in thought, in action, in word, and in deed. Where's the aroma that's coming before the presence of the Lord? God says there are many in my church that stink. Search me. You ever been in service with somebody that stink? Y'all, come on, y'all. Y'all just wish you could just give them a little something. Just to here's a little deodorant. Here's a little perfume. Here's a little cologne. You want to give them something? God wants a fragrance coming out of our lives. What's going to bring the revival? When the fragrance. What's going to cause dead things to come to life? When the fragrance. What fragrance? See, we can't be shooting in the dark. We need to understand what the fragrance is. Jesus is the example of the fragrance. The fragrance was Jesus gave himself completely for us. That was the fragrance. Ah, that brought a sweet smell to the Father. Where are those of us in the remnant that say, I'll give up everything so that one person might find their way into the kingdom of God? I'll lay down my ambition. I'll lay down my drive. I'll lay down my expectation. I'll lay down my dreams. I'll lay down my vision. I'll lay down my calling. I'll lay down my pursuit. And I'll lay it down, hallelujah, so that I can become everything that God wants me to be. The smell that reaches the aroma of God. There's a call going out in the earth from the west coast to the east coast. It's going from the north to the south. God is saying, I'm searching. I'm looking. My eye eyes are to and fro. I'm looking for somebody to show myself strong in the behalf of. I'm looking for those that will get back in my presence and say, here am I, God. Search me. Try me. Prove me. See if there's anything in me that doesn't please you. And I'll lay my life down so that others can find their way to you. God is stirring and God is calling us. Test 1, 2. 3, 4. That's all right. Test 1, 2. Well, y'all can still hear me though, right? Did it become a place of hindrance? He's got to work with me a little bit. So he starts with fornication, goes on, he says, uncleanness and covetousness. What's covetousness? We don't ever like to talk about that. I want what you got. I want it because you got it. I'm gonna leave that one alone. I'm gonna fly right on through that. But look at the first three. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. That's what Paul deals with. He says, let me just stop there. He says, I'm going to hit you with the first three. Fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Hindrances. Things that hinder the word. Things that hinder your walk. Things that hinder your momentum. What does he say about it? He says, don't ever even let it be named among you as okay. Listen to the way the scripture is written. He says, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. You see, it was named among them and they were okay with it. And Paul comes to correct it to say, it should not be named among you as fitting, as okay. We should never say, I understand your fornication. We should never say, I understand your uncleanness. I understand your covetousness. We should never say that it's okay. And how do we say it's okay? We nod at it. We know they're doing it. We just nod at it. We don't challenge it. We don't correct it. We don't instruct them. He says, don't even let it be named among you as what is becoming something that is fit for a saint. Then he goes on for the next three. Look at what he says. Neither filthy or filthiness or foolish talking or coarse gesturing, which are not what? Fitting. He says, so there's six things I want you to pay attention to. Now we can all look at that and say, whoo, I am not on that list. Or we can say, God, where am I at on this list? It just depends on how real you want to be with God so that God can be real with you. So six things: fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, and gesturing. Aren't y'all glad we're on the short list tonight? You know what I like about Paul? And I love about Ephesians? Ephesians is the short list. You go to Galatians, you're going forever. His list in Galatians will make you have a headache. Because when you get to the end of the list in Galatians, he says, and anything else that would fit up underneath there. So you guys ought to be really happy that the Lord said, give them the short list tonight so that they can travel with you in the scripture and locate their hindrance so that they can call themselves to attention so that you can shake yourself again and say, hold up, time out. Let me dust off the places that I've gotten a little comfortable and I've got now remote control lounge chairs in my spiritual walk, and let me put it away again and pull out some old things that I know how to do. How many remember the old way of how you knew how to press into God? You need to go back to some things that you knew worked, because this modern day Christianity where you push a button and you're all there, You better get ready. God is coming and say, that don't work here. It didn't work there. And it's not going to work here. He that comes after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's no fast, quick, into the presence of God and receive the blessings, the anointing, the grace, and the favor of God. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, but I promise you, faith without works is dead. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, but rather give thanks. Give thanks. He says, okay, you want to start with getting rid of these hindrances? Start giving thanks. That should be named among you. Being thankful. How many of you be really good on Sunday? You'd be really thanking God got you through the week. And then on the way to work on Monday, you'd be like, Lord, I don't want to go to work today. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, God, I just don't want to see that boss again. I just don't want to see my coworkers. How many of y'all stay home wives? Any stay home wives in the house? Wow. We got one? We got a couple. Okay, I won't bust y'all out too much. Ooh, I'm so glad he gone to work. Kids don't want to go to school. Folk don't want to go to work. Hate our jobs. But rather what? Give thanks. God, I thank you for this job. I thank you that somebody going to get saved today. I thank you that I'm going to imitate you today in my present day environment. I thank you that in thought, in word, in deed, and in action, I'm going to act like you. I thank you that I am the one who can speak a thing and it come to pass. I thank you that when I walk in the room, the environment is going to change. I thank you that I got angels that go to work with me every day. I thank you that your favor is with me. I thank you that you bless me when I get up. I thank you that you bless me when I go and lie down. I thank you bless me when I'm walking through the marketplace. I thank change your speech. And on the way in, you never know. God say, here's a prophetic word for your coworker. God drop something in your spirit and say, here is the answer for the strategic move of this company in the direction that they can go to increase their profit. How about that? Instead of, I really wish I didn't have to go to this place. That's the place that he puts you in. That's the place that he says, let my glory be seen. That's the place where he says, rise and shine, for your light has come. It's the place where he wants to illuminate and he wants to destroy depression and sadness and greed and loss. Call yourself to attention tonight. Shake yourself to realize everywhere you go, you are charged to change the environment. You are not charged to be subject to the environment. You are called to change the environment. Oh, I got to find one person that agree with me. You're not called to be subject to the environment. You're called to change the environment. You're called to shift the circumstance. You're called to move. Ain't nobody on this side. You're not called to be subject to the environment. You're called to change the environment. You're called to shift the environment. You're called. You're called. You're ordained. You're anointed. There's a shift tonight. Y'all ready for the next? Can you hang with me? I'm going to do it. Watch me do it quick because I'm past 9:00. I'm in trouble. Pastor, can I continue? Can I finish it? I'm going to do it real quick. Okay, I'm going to do it very quickly. First of all, let me pause. How many feel something shifting inside of you? I just want, because I'm sensitive to atmosphere, so I know when certain things are moving. How many really feel there's something shifting on the inside of you, and there's something stirring inside where what I'm saying from my heart is reaching your heart? Oh, hallelujah. Are you identifying hindrance? Are you saying, wait a minute, God, where is there a place that's causing my momentum to slow? Where is it that there's a handicap in my walk that tonight the anointing comes? See, his presence is here. I know he's here. His presence, there's an anointing tonight that's falling even right now. There's an anointing that is rising on the inside of you for you to begin to move in the spirit realm, hindrances that have been holding on to you. There's something happening on the inside of you that your very thoughts are locked into what I'm saying. And as you lock into what I'm saying, there's something happening in the realm of the spirit. And there are angelic hosts right here, right now, with supernatural strength. And they are going to war against the hindrances because you are making thoughts in your mind saying, no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. And the minute you begin to say some of these things, your angels are hearkening unto the word that's being preached, hearkening to say, I am here to minister on your behalf, and I am here to give you strength that you didn't know you had. I'm here to remove mountains and barriers and hindrances tonight. So you see, we ain't in this room by ourselves. There's some things going on in the realm of the spirit. Verse number 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. But because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not, and if you've got your Bible, circle partake. Therefore, do not partake with them. Make a decision tonight. If you've got relationships with people and you're fellowshipping with them and you're going out to eat with them and you're talking on the phone with them and you're comfortable with their conversation, I come tonight to challenge you. It is time to not become partakers of that dialogue anymore. It is time to say, our friendship has to go on hold for a little while because God is dealing with me. And I recognize now that this has become a hindrance that I didn't even know was trying to hinder my momentum in the Lord. But I'm going to obey the word of God tonight. I'd rather obey God than obey man. I don't need a relationship with you. I'd rather obey the word of God. And so tonight, I don't want to be partakers any longer in this relationship. Somebody need to give the keys back. For you were once darkness. Come on, look at somebody and say, that was then. This is now. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all. For the triple threes that we saw, because there were two sets of six, double emphasis. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, first set of three. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse gesturing, second set of three, double emphasis. Here's three for that one. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Oh, that, ooh, look at that. That felt good, didn't it? Felt good. Everybody say, ooh, that's good, that's good. All right. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. For that list of six, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. I don't have time tonight to get into it, but I want you to pause there and put some underlines in your Bible or on your phone. goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, the only thing that's good is God. Righteousness is God's right way of doing things, and truth is being honest. Tell the truth. Be honest about who you are, what you do, where you are. Stop wearing the masquerade. Get rid of the cloth that one minute you're this way and the next minute you're that way. Just say, I'm having a bad day today. Pray for me. Finding out what is acceptable. When we walk in goodness, when we understand goodness, righteousness, and truth, we can find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse number 11 says, and have no fellowship. Circle the word, no fellowship. What are you not to have fellowship with? He said, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He is not talking to unbelievers. He is talking to believers. He is not talking to people who didn't know Jesus. He's talking to people who knew Jesus. He's not talking to people who are in the nightclub, hanging out in the bars. He was not talking to them. He was talking to believers. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And you say, well, wait a minute. If I do that, I won't have any friends. Because the question becomes, well, who is living like that? Don't you worry. Choose to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and watch how light will gather light. Watch how God will begin to bring brothers and sisters who are walking this walk and talking this talk into your life. Some of you have been so familiar with them so long you need to cut them off. I don't mean that you don't have to say hello to them. I'm saying don't have fellowship according to the scripture. It's unfruitful. It's not life-giving. He says, but instead, what do? You expose them. You reprove them. Verse number 12, for it is shameful. Everybody say shameful. Even to speak of those things which are done by them in what? Secret. What secret, people? Under the radar. Under the radar. Under the radar. There's so much stuff going on under the radar. But God is pulling off. Not because he wants to beat on us. He's pulling off because he loves us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens or he corrects. He comes to give us a strong word so that we can get it together, so that we can shake off the slumber, so that we can get back into our Holy Ghost boot camp, so that we can polish up our armory again, so that we can spit shine our boots again, so that when we sing the songs of Zion, breakthrough comes. So that when we open our mouths to declare a thing, it comes to pass. So that when you preach the gospel, people get saved. Don't you want to see it in your lifetime? Don't you want it to be a part of your everyday world? Paul was instructing the church. He says, you guys understand so many things, but you're missing your momentum because you're allowing these hindrances to be a part of your journey. Don't have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Verse number 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, and he's quoting Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. He's quoting this. He says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. What does circumspectly mean? It says, see then that you walk exactly, accurately, and diligently according to what God has ordained. In other words, don't get off of the road that God has. Because he says, straight is the gate and narrow is the path that leads to life. But broad is the way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Circumspectly means I'm not trying to find out whether or not I can go outside of the boundary. I'm not trying to figure out how far outside of the boundary I can go and it be okay. Ooh. He says, stay, be diligent, get in the pathway that God has carved out. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That we find out what it means when he says walk this way and not that way. It's not enough to have knowledge. We have to have wisdom, we have to have knowledge, and we have to have understanding. We have to know what it is that God is asking us so that we can, with understanding and conviction, walk it out. When people say, how come you won't come do this? You say, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because it's unlawful for me to do it. Why is it unlawful for you to do it? Because the word of God tells me I can't do it. Do you really believe the word of God? Yes, I believe the word of God. Well, you know, everybody does it every now and then. Why is it that you want to be such a holier than thou? Because he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'm not afraid not to fit in. Wow, it's right. And I believe that God is saying, where are my people, young people? Old people, middle-aged people that will come back to the place of saying, I take a strong stance for my relationship with God. And if you're not going with me, then we're not going together. Redeem the time. We see it. The days are shorter and shorter. Chaos is greater and greater. And the church needs to rise and call to attention. North America has been sleeping, and God is saying to North America, I love you, wake up. He's saying, I love you, wake up. He's saying, get rid of the hindrances, wake up. Identify what's slowing your momentum, get rid of it. He's coming along to tell us again, come on and rise. There's a generation that don't know what you know. There's a bunch of people that don't know what you know about me. Come on, take on another disciplee. Take on another mentor. Take on somebody else. Teach them. Get in the word again. Go ahead. I know you're tired. I know you've been doing it for 40 years. Shake yourself. Take on a new person. Find you a young man. Find you a young woman. Find you somebody who don't want to be found. Snatch them out of the fire. Oh, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk. Don't get drunk on the wrong thing. Don't get drunk on the wrong thing. We miss it. Don't get drunk on the wrong thing. But be filled with the Spirit. Go ahead and sing to each other. Sing all the time. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing. Make melody in your heart unto me. We lost it. Remember those songs that y'all used to sing? I know some of y'all in here understand. Some young people don't understand this one. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy is my strength. The joy of the Lord. Now, you know, we sing that today. That sounds so, like, lame, doesn't it? It doesn't sound, the beat itself sounds lame, doesn't it? Especially to the young people. They like, really? They say, that sounds like Howdy Doody. But those of us who know that song, we would dance off to work to that song. We'd be in the supermarket saying, the joy of the Lord is my, he gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me, this stuff they sing now, you can't barely remember it next week. Anybody feel that way? Some of the songs, I mean, not the good songs we sang tonight, but some songs now, I'm like, I can't even remember who, what the artist, I don't even know what they're singing. But in the 80s and the 90s, they sang nothing but scripture. They just sang Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. Now we got made up verses. We got lyrics that we don't know if they're talking about Jesus or the boyfriend or the girlfriend. And because we don't know what they're talking about, we just go, that's the music of today, so I guess I better learn it. The devil is a liar. What's hindering you? How many put some of them songs on, can't get nothing? You go to sit in your prayer closet, don't nothing come. I'm like, what? It's like it's nothing on it. There's no anointing on it. It's just sound. It's just noise. And no anointing. God done come sideways and just be like singing your little heart out. Don't feel nothing. I'm going to leave that for another day. Sing songs. Sing to each other. Make a merry melody in your heart unto the Lord. And then he comes back to something he said earlier. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, relationally, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you know, I spent time talking about six things that gives us an indication where there may be some areas that are hindering us. But as I finished up tonight, I gave you 17 things. 17. If you go back and just in that passage of scripture, look at all the things that he tells us to do. There are 17 specific things that he tells us to do. So I gave you six. He hit the top six. If you take the 17 and use it as a self-checklist, you might find some areas that you may not be doing that have now subconsciously become hindrances. Y'all want me to run down a list real quick in case y'all didn't see it? Can I go for it real quick? Y'all can take notes when you do it. Don't be partakers with them, number one. Walk as children of light, number two. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord, number three. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, number four. Reprove unfruitful works of darkness, number five. Awake you who sleep, number six. Arise from the dead, number seven. See then that you walk circumspectly, number eight. Be wise, number nine. Redeem the time, number 10. Don't be unwise, number 11. Understand what the will of the Lord is, number 12. Do not be drunk with wine, number 13. Be filled with the Spirit, number 14. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, number 15. Giving thanks always, number 16. Number 17, submitting to one another. That's good, isn't it? Listen to what he taught and how he taught the church. He gave us a way to evaluate where are the places of hindrance. When you go down that list of 17, do you see yourself anywhere? If you do, then you submit it back to God and say, search me. Try me in this area. I want to, am I not wise? And there's some ways I'm being a fool. What am I doing? 17 plus 6 is how much? 23 things that you can evaluate after tonight so that you can have the power to identify where is there a hindrance so you can come out from the handicap place. Hindrance. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily ensnare us. And let us run with patience and endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, glory to God, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a great, great crowd of witnesses. This is the church's finest hour. Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hands find to do. Do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. We can't take it with us. God, help us tonight. We can't take it with us. I don't care how much money you make, you can't take it with you. I don't care how much we acquire, how intellectual we are, how bright we can't take it. When we leave the earth, we don't need knowledge. We don't need wisdom. And all of us are leaving the earth. Will you leave empty? I want to leave empty. Paul said, I finished. I'm empty. I finished my race. I kept the faith. There's nothing left for me to do. It's time. That's what God is doing in the earth right now. And he's breathing. And his glory shall be seen. Yes, it will. But it's going to be seen on those of us who will look at the hindrances and say, no longer will you hinder me. No longer will you hinder me. For I come out from my place of hindrance. Will you bow your heads? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. It is our greatest desire, is that all of your people, including myself, live on purpose and give away everything that you've given to us. Hindrances are there. We want to come past them tonight. The breaker is here, and I know you've broken through. I know that there are thoughts that are happening in this room tonight. And Father, as we gather in this regional meeting, we thank you for the ability to make decisions that bring transformation. That this is no ordinary gathering. That every time this Friday night meeting happens, something shifts in the lives of your people. Thank you for the vision of this house. Thank you for what you have done. And thank you for the fruit that shall remain from this night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. All right, at this time, we're going to release our prophetic team members so they can go get settled in their rooms.